Welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so this is about your journey, which started in Mangalore, and you were always kind of smart. So you got the best score, went to some of the best institutes in India, St. John's in Bangalore, and of course, you did your DM at Postgraduate Institute in Chandigarh, right? So what were those early years like?
Well, as you know, growing up in India, and if you're reasonably good at your quote-unquote studies, you're supposed to be either a doctor or an engineer.
Yes.
And so I had an uncle who was a doctor, and he sort of was a role model. And so I went to medical school. I went to St. John's Medical College,
okay,
which is one of the top medical schools in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, when you go to medical school at 17 years of age, in this country, people learn about life in college.
Uh-huh.
You don't have much of that opportunity.
Right.
So you're learning medicine, which is a responsible profession,
uh-huh,
and you're learning about life at the same time.
Yes.
And
yes.
So, you know, managed to keep my head above water in medical mm-hmm. school.
So how did you come to United States?
So it's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
In 1988, mm-hmm. We had a premier nephrology event at the Postgraduate Institute.
Okay.
It's called the Nephrology Forum,
uh-huh,
wherein a leader in a given field mm-hmm. is asked to give an entire lecture on that field of interest.
Okay.
And folks from all over the world and all over the country come mm-hmm. and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And the speaker was my mentor, Professor Kirpal Singh Chugh.
Okay.
Who was delivering that lecture or
father
oration.
Father of nephrology, he was
father
called.
Of, yes,
right,
he's the father
in
of nephrology
right,
in
right,
India.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
And mm-hmm. The editors of the Kidney International were Dr. Nicholas Medias,
okay,
who was then the chief of nephrology at Tufts.
Right, right.
Dr. Jody Cohen was the president of the American College of American Association of mm-hmm. Medical Schools.
Mm-hmm.
And John Harrington, who then ultimately became the dean at Tufts Medical School.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was the person who had assisted my mentor mm-hmm. in preparing for the lecture.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, I spoke the best English.
Okay.
And given okay. my liberal upbringing, I knew where the best beer pubs in town were.
Oh, my.
So I was the chaperone uh-huh. For them
uh-huh.
for the day before the lecture. And a day with them, by the end of the evening, I had a job.
They said, timing is everything though, right?
You know, just think about it. You're
right.
a kid in India
right.
and three guys from Boston arrive and say, okay, you know what? We'll give you a job in Boston. It's like dying and going to
yeah.
heaven, right?
Right.
And
wow.
At that time, Sunita and I had two kids.
Mm.
And so I said that, you know, Sunita is a neonatologist. And said, they said, not a problem. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure that your wife also gets accommodated.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, things like this actually do happen in life.
It's amazing. It's like a lottery ticket in some ways, right?
More than that.
Wow. Wow. And then, of course, once you came here, you really held some of the top positions in Tufts. You have given hundreds of lectures, written I don't know how many articles. And also you were the president of the National Kidney Foundation. So you talked about some of your, you know, the special nephrologists in your life. So many of us actually look up to you as physicians and as a mentor in so many ways. Who were the key mentors then and now?
So I have had the exceptional privilege of three great mentors.
Mm-hmm.
In India, Dr. Kirpal Singh Chugh, who was the chief of nephrology, mm-hmm. Essentially paved my way
okay.
Into the world of nephrology.
Wow.
But coming here to Boston, mm-hmm. I had the privilege of Dr. Nicholas Medias,
okay.
Who was at that time the chief of nephrology at Tufts.
At Tufts, right.
And then became the executive academic dean at Tufts mm-hmm. Medical School. And Andy Levy, mm-hmm. Who was then, when I arrived here, a young researcher. He ultimately went on to be the chief of nephrology at Tufts.
Okay.
And both of them have contributed
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amazing amounts to the world of nephrology.
Right.
But more than that, they were selfless mentors.
Mm-hmm.
they made sure that my interest and my progress was the most important thing.
Of course, your next step was an MBA at Kellogg School of Management. Nowadays, many doctors are doing that, but in those days, it was not that common, right? So how did that come about?
Well, you know, a lot of my research was very applicable to industry.
Okay.
And I had the benefit of being on advisory boards to industry. Excuse me. But oftentimes sitting at these meetings, I used to wonder how our input translated into business decisions. And by that time, I had become a full professor. And to me, it became clear that I wanted to do something different. And being involved in managerial decisions was always interesting to me. So I decided that I'll get an MBA because I wanted to get the skills and get this sort of special knowledge where that was being held by the people who were running the hospital. And I think that was a wonderful experience, and I'm glad I did it because when I finished, you know, most of the hospitals in Boston were in financial trouble. This was the late 90s. And I was fortunate to be asked, since I was an MD with an MBA, to be the interim chief operating officer at Tufts. In that short period of time that I was interim COO, I learned a lot, made a fair share of my mistakes. And then there was there were 18 physician corporations at Tufts that were all independent. And, you know, they were not being run very efficiently. And it became clear that pulling them all together under a single physician corporation would be the right thing to do. And to make the long story short, we created the first, you know, integrated physician corporation at Tufts Medical Center, and I became CEO.
And you constantly seem to be reinventing yourself in some ways, because your next step onward was entrepreneurship, medical entrepreneurship almost, because you were the CEO of AMAG and then, of course, Vistara, and very, very successful at that. So tell us more about that too.
Well, you know, I must admit that most of the executive positions I have had the privilege of being in weren't by design. By accident. I was CEO of the Physician Corporation at Tufts, and I was on the board of a company called Advanced Magnetics, which is publicly traded, which could use some help. And a couple of investors approached me and said that, you know, it'd be nice if you can come in as CEO. And for an academic CEO, being a CEO of a publicly traded company was truly exciting. And so I said yes. And I started. The company really needed help.
Yes, I like your famous story. I want to hear about Miss Havisham.
Well, this was like Charles Dickens' Miss Havisham song.
Right,
you know?
Right.
The good news is that I could see my way through.
Right. You like a challenge, right?
Yeah, it was a challenge, but it was a surmountable challenge. And so over the next 3 to 6 months, I hired new people. The great part about being a publicly traded company is you can always raise money. And over the next 2 years, we raised 4 rounds of financing. Over $500 million at higher valuations. Our clinical programs moved across nicely. And, you know, it was really a fun ride creating a fully integrated biopharmaceutical company. And I did that for 7 years. Great executive team, great employees, great board. And so at the end of 7 years, I decided that it was time to retire. And so I retired. I did some private equity and some venture capital. I was fortunate to be asked to be chairman of the board of a dialysis provider in India called NephroPlus.
Okay.
At that time, it was run by three really smart, dynamic young guys.
Uh-huh.
They had three centers. Long story short, 7 years later, we now have more than 200 centers.
Oh, really?
And we're the largest dialysis chain in India.
Wow.
And I was doing that when Visterra approached me, and the technology was exciting, and the investors were highly reputed investors. And essentially, I could see how the technology could really dramatically change patient lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so in less than 2 weeks from the time they first approached me, I was in my office at Visterra.
Well, nowadays, as we were talking, the big thing is whether it's YouTube or Facebook or anywhere, all the articles are focused on habits of very successful people. And I know you're very organized. So share some of your daily routines and habits with our viewers as well.
Well, all I can say is my habits work for me.
Right? But you're super organized, and you clear all your emails by the end of the day.
Yeah, right? So I wake up at 5:30, a little earlier sometimes. First thing I do is I check my emails, get a cup of coffee, and then I leave at 6:30 so that I'm at my desk by 7.
That's a good habit, you know.
Yeah, and by the time 8 or 9 when the rest of the folks come in, my day is done. I've taken care of all things that need to be done. And then the day unfolds as it may.
Okay.
And by the end of the day, you know, I come home, have a drink with Sunita, and we have dinner. And then I check my mail one more time. And we are early to bed. By 8:39, we're in bed. we're boring.
That's so funny.
So when people tell me about, you know, all these comedy shows and all, they say it's at 10:30 or 11 at night. I'm not awake for that.
So okay, so let's talk about your family. You've been talking a little bit about Sunita during this interview. I know you married her three times and you have two children and you recently became a grandfather. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well,
why you married her three times? She's in a live audience today.
Well, the reality is I landed up in Chandigarh on a cold January morning in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a single word of Hindi.
You know, do you know any Hindi now?
Oh, I'm pretty good at Hindi now. So the first three words I learned in the hospital was idhar, udhar, and chadar. That's what the terms the nurses were using, because everything was moving patients out and replacing the mattress, right? But with time, I learned a little more Hindi and a little more Punjabi. And then there was this really, really bright, dynamic, good-looking young woman.
She still is.
Yes, in pediatrics.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't give me the time of the day. But I was relentless. And so finally she succumbed.
Okay, you wore her down.
That's right. I tired her out. But the reality was that we were getting married. You know, she's Hindu, I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
She's a North Indian, I'm a South Indian.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Kshatriya, I'm a Brahmin. And, you know, all these complexities.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, we got families to agree to this.
Okay.
And we were getting married in August.
Mm-hmm.
But the married doctor's accommodations get allocated end of June. So, you know, we went to the high court and there were these guys, scribes, who on paper, they type out that you're married. We got two of our friends to sign.
We see that in Hindi movies a lot too, right?
And then Sunita's folks were in Jabalpur.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Hindu wedding with all of the, 500 plus people invited. And then the caravan moved to Mangalore, wherein we had the Mangalorean Catholic wedding. And, you know, it was 3 days of ceremonies. And you know, having gotten married three times, I guess that's a recipe for enduring marriage.
And tell us about your being a grandfather now.
Yeah. So
what does that feel like?
So being a grandfather is the best thing,
mm-hmm.
because our daughter had a baby boy 5 months ago, and it's great when you see your kids becoming parents. Yes.
So the next thing, of course, is you are being honored on March 23rd at AIF, and our entire community is looking forward to honoring you. So wish you all the best for that, and thank you so much.